We are back in studio, the Bengals Beat podcast. I'm Lindsay Patterson alongside Bengals Beat writer for the Cincinnati Inquirer, Tyler Dragon. Tyler, how you doing?
I'm doing pretty good. I think I'm finally acclimated to the cold conditions out here. It is cold today. It was cold last week. And, you know, it hasn't snowed too much yet. When it snows, I am locked up inside. But overall, I am doing pretty good.
That's good to hear. I mean, the weather, it's not that bad out, Tyler. This is nothing. I mean, we've had like 30, 40 degrees. It's technically spring now.
30, 40? I mean where I'm from, 50, 60 is cold.
No, you know, there's plenty going on. There's plenty going on to keep your mind off the weather because you have all the Joe Burrow talk, the national media perception. And I just find that stuff so crazy because, look, it's exhausting. And I get there's no other narrative to really pull right now. And everybody can base it off of, oh, it's not only the national media talking. You hear guys like Carson Palmer, Salman Wilcox. I mean, even TJ Houshmandzadeh has been interviewed about it. And look, everybody has different stories. And it's so easy to say, look, this organization hasn't won a playoff game in forever. I was a baby the last time they won a playoff game. But when you look at it as a whole, what's up with this national narrative right now?
Drama and controversy sells. So when people are speculating, oh, Joe Burrow might not want to be a Bengal, they're going to feed that narrative because, like I said, that type of talk sells, that gets clicks, that gets people listening. And that narrative, I've said it on the radio, I've said it on podcasts, I've said it on TV, it's fake news. That is alternative talk, alternative fact. And Joe Burrow, his mom, his dad, I'm not putting words in their mouths, but they have debunked all that type of negative talk, all that criticism that Joe Burrow does not want to play in Cincinnati and be a Bengal. And all the criticism and all that negative type of outlook, that will all be shut down as soon as the draft gets here.
Well, my biggest thing is, and look, the draft is 65 days away, not counting or anything, but when you look at it, it's no different from what the Cincinnati Bengals will say when you talk to Zach Taylor. And we're going to talk to him later on in this podcast. And when you ask him, hey, what goes into the process? What's it like when you have the number one draft pick? What's the offseason? You know, what do you put into it? What position group are you focusing on? There's no difference than when the Bengals organization or someone from an NFL organization says, hey, we have to do our homework. We still have to look at this guy. We have to still look at this position group. We have to, you know, weigh all those options. There's no difference. Even if the Cincinnati Bengals know they are going to get the quarterback, Joe Burrow, and I think they should. That's not breaking news or anything like that. But even if an organization says straight up, look, we have to do our homework. We still have to go through the steps and the process. It's no different than what Joe Burrow has said. I've read, I've watched. Joe Burrow has said zero things wrong. He said he has leverage. Yeah, the number one draft pick does have leverage. And I know you wrote a piece about it. The Bengals have leverage.
Yeah, no organization in their right mind would come out and say 2 months before the draft, hey, we are taking Joe Burrow with the number one overall pick. They're not going to do that. And Joe Burrow, to his credit, he's not going to do it either. They're essentially doing the same thing. They're being mum, they're being coy, and they are going about their business privately, and they're not going to go into media and say, hey, this is what we are doing with the number one pick. Joe Burrow is not going to say, I 100% want to be a Cincinnati Bengal and I want them to draft me number one overall. I want to play day one, be the day one starter. No, that's not how it's going to go down. I don't care what anybody says. Nobody is going to say anything until draft day.
And I think a lot of the quotes get left out, or they're not the front page, or they're not getting people to click on the story from like national media standpoint when they say like, oh, Joe Burrow wants to go to a Super Bowl contender. Well, what player in the NFL draft wouldn't want to go to a Super Bowl contender? Of course you want to win Super Bowls. Of course you want to go to a franchise that's going to win Super Bowls. And look, and people turned it and twisted and said, oh, the Bengals don't have a Super Bowl win. They're not going to go to a franchise. You're not going to go to a franchise that wins. The number one draft pick rarely ever goes to a good team. Just, I mean, this is not anything new.
That's the reason why the Bengals are in the position, because they're a bad football team. Anybody that has the number one overall pick, the reason that you have that pick is because you were a terrible football team the year before. The Bengals had the worst record in all of football. The worst record in all of football gets awarded the number one overall pick.
And there's just no difference. And I know we talked to ESPN's Dan Orlovsky a couple weeks ago, and he said, look at some of the other franchises who haven't made playoff appearances, or how many playoff appearances the Cincinnati Bengals have had. And look, I know everybody wants playoff wins, and there, it's fair to criticize the Cincinnati Bengals. It is totally fair, because there are a lot of things you can point out right now, and it's going to be a crazy offseason for them. I think there are comparisons when you look at the Reds did, spending over $165 million. You're competing with fan bases here, and you've got to get people back to your games. And I don't know if getting Joe Burrow is going to all change that. You've got to win football games too, and they have to be active in free agency. I'm not breaking any news when you look at that picture as a whole, but to say like quarterbacks go here and die, or you're not going to want to go to Cincinnati, or pull an Eli Manning, guess what? When you're the number one draft pick, you can decide where you want to go. But until then, you don't get to make that decision for Joe Burrow, and Joe Burrow will make it on his own. And I just, I don't see that happening. Look, 65 days is a long time when you look between now and the NFL draft. I just think these quotes, I don't think Joe Burrow is saying anything wrong.
Yeah, and to an extent, the Bengals have deserved some of these quotes and deserve some of these cynics that are coming out, because like you said, they haven't won a playoff game since 1991. Have never won a Super Bowl. So when you look at the Bengals, especially from a national media perspective, people on the outside are looking at the franchise like, well, why would we want to go to Cincinnati? It's a small market team. They just are coming off a 2-14 year. They haven't won a playoff game. Joe Burrow wasn't even alive when they last won a playoff game. So when you look at all that and you have it and just see it in totality, you can understand why players, former players, and also fans on the outside will ask themselves, well, why would Joe Burrow not want to be a Bengal? But on the other side, he is from the state of Ohio, and from by all accounts, from what I've heard, is he would not have any qualms about being a Cincinnati Bengal, and he likes the possibility of turning around a franchise that, I mean, quite frankly, is struggling.
Yeah, and you have to think about that as a competitor, and I'm not in Joe Burrow's shoes, but to think like, look, what he's been through, and to leave Ohio State to go take a chance and be at LSU and turn things around. I don't think it was just one good year for Joe Burrow, even though it's so easy to point out what he did this past year in college football. I think as a whole, and a competitor, as a quarterback, you almost want that, to like be able to change things, to go there and win, to see and show people, look, I can do it at the college level, and I can do it in the NFL, because I'm sure Joe Burrow's still reading or listening to people who say, hey, what if Tua would have been healthy all season? Or you look at other quarterbacks, because it's a loaded draft class when you look at quarterbacks. I'm still good. I am good. I'm going to be good at the NFL level. Wait and see. Look what I can do in Cincinnati. Joe Burrow's not going to come out and say that. He's not going to say that after draft day. That's a whole different story. If you hear those quotes or hear something like that, or even on draft night, he hasn't said that. He's just answering the questions that are asked to him. And I just think people are just blowing this up. And it is, it's a clickbait.
Controversy sells.
I'm exhausted. Tyler, I'm exhausted from it. I mean, we're going to have head coach Zach Taylor in again. Thanks for his time for coming in studio just to talk to us about the offseason, because there's really no offseason for him when you have the Senior Bowl, the Combine's next week, and then you have the number one draft pick. They're doing all of their research now. But do you think when you look at this offseason, and I know a lot of fans feel this way, overspending, being active in free agency, Are you just looking at the offensive line, or is it the added linebacker room or cornerbacks or what you do in this situation? Where are you spending that money, and will they?
When you're 2-14, you have a plethora of problems. Offensive line, certainly one of the main problems the Bengals have. They need to shore up that O-line. You look at linebacker, the Bengals have to get better on that second level on the defense. And then, obviously, we've been talking about him ad nauseum, Joe Burrow at quarterback. And then hopefully get A.J. Green healthy. I can't say this enough. The Bengals have a lot of holes all over the football field on the offense and defense end. But when I look at this team, if I were Duke Tobin, if I were making decisions, if I were Mike Brown, I would draft Joe Burrow number one overall. I would re-sign A.J. Green to an extension. I would then turn to Joe Mixon and try to get him a new deal. And then I would build the roster through the draft. And the Bengals, historically, they don't get a lot of free agents that move the needle. So you can't bank on signing a high price and a Pro Bowl caliber free agent. So build your team through the draft. You're in rebuild mode anyways. And retain your talented players that you already have in your possession. And most notably, that is Joe Mixon and AJ Green.
You said build through the draft, and I think that's a huge thing right now because, look, in the past couple years, they've missed big time in the first and second round. I mean, even look at the tight end, Drew Sample. That was a miss. And look, you can't predict injuries, but even before the injury, it just felt like it never really turned out like they wanted it to. And I think hitting those draft picks is so important to get back on that because Duke Tobin, you know he can do it when you look at the overall resume in the past. He's had good drafts, but recently they've just struggled. And I think just starting that in 2020, because you've got to protect your asset. If you go Joe Burrow, you've got to get things around him. You got to bring weapons in the second, third, and fourth round. And in free agency, I'm not saying you spend all your money in free agency. That doesn't always win. You look at past teams. I've mentioned this before on the podcast, from the Bucks to the Washington Redskins. That doesn't save everything. But you got to have a plan in place. And I think that's the biggest difference going into this offseason when you look at this organization. And it's almost like, and it brings back some childhood memories. Some Bengal fans might remember this. But Antonio Bryant, they spent a whole lot of money on him, and that didn't turn out well. And then Preston Brown, you give him a contract extension last year, and then you cut him through halfway through the season. So there were decisions that were made in free agency that came back to burn this team. And I think you have to look at those and just say, hey, we've got to take a chance again. If there's a vet O-line who can help us offensively and start and plug them right away, you are getting a guy in Jonah Williams back. And I think, again, people forget. Yeah, Jonah Williams was injured last year. Oh, what is he going to bring? He was injured his rookie season. Is he still worth the same hype? Yeah, he is. Yeah. Having Jonah Williams out there is going to be a difference maker in left tackle. I'll just say that right now.
Yeah, you can plug him in right there at that left tackle spot, and hopefully he'll be the left tackle of the future and of the present for this Bengals team. But yeah, when you are a small market franchise like the Bengals, you have to hit in the draft. It is essential. I can't stress it enough. It's critical for the Bengals to capitalize and have a great draft, because I'm going to be honest, free agents aren't going to be flocking at the door and to try to get to Cincinnati. It's just not what it is. So you have to be able to build your team through the draft. Now, if the Bengals show a consistent winning, if they start winning consistently, and if they start, you know, having a good foundation, that would entice players and free agents to say, well, let me give Cincinnati more of a listen. Let me pay a visit over there and see what they're talking about. But right now, you're a small market franchise and you're coming off a 2-14 season. Veterans aren't dumb. They know that this team is in a rebuild mode. And they know this team isn't, right now, they aren't on track to winning, especially when you look at teams in a division like the Ravens. So you have to build through the draft. I cannot stress that enough. Build through the draft. And yes, draft Joe Burrow. You need to draft Joe Burrow. Just that good and dry.
Joe Burrow. I think he could change some things. And yeah. I actually think that's going to be so interesting, though, if they do draft Joe Burrow. And look, everyone's so pumped. They're excited. It's almost like the little brother, big brother thing when you look at the national media, like, you can't talk about him like that, only I can talk about him like that, or, you know, you don't have all the facts straight, and you know, fans have, they can say what they want on social media, and I get the national narrative is exhausting. I'm over it. Like, let's go get drafted here. But if, you know, does Joe Burrow bring people back? And that's what I'm interested in. Look, wins matter. Winning changes everything.
Yep.
People forget, when you start winning, if you get that playoff win, if Joe Burrow gets a playoff win, they're gonna build a statue for him.
Oh yeah!
Like, there will be a statue for one playoff win right now. That would be a game changer, and fans deserve it. And I think radio personality Mo Egger actually said it a couple weeks ago, maybe about a month ago. He said, "Look, I don't think the Bengals deserve Joe Burrow, but the fan base does." And I truly believe there are fans who are still there supporting. Look, I'll be completely honest. My family—they have season tickets. They've had them my whole entire life. They always will. Like, they still go to games. They enjoy it. It's a family thing. There's a fan base here who just wants to see this team win. They just want to see him win. And Joe Burrow could help there.
Yeah. Winning cures
not
all.
Not breaking news there. Joe Burrow could help.
Winning cures all. So you draft Joe Burrow, not saying he's going to be the savior, but it is a good start.
It is a good start. You know what else is a good start? Having the head coach in here. Talking to the head coach and finding a little bit about the offseason. We'll see if he talks any Joe Burrow and free agency. And what's next for this Bengals club in year two as a head coach for Zach Taylor? All right, we're back in studio. I said it before, there's no offseason when it comes to the NFL. And Tyler and I are in studio now, joined by head coach Zach Taylor. Zach, how you doing?
I'm doing great. Appreciate y'all having me on.
There's no offseason for you. One full year as the head coach. You go from Senior Bowl, you have Combine, and then everyone knows the number one draft pick. What did you gain from that Senior Bowl experience?
Well, you get a chance to really interact with the players on a different level than you would otherwise if you weren't coaching the game. So it's really the only opportunity you're going to get as a staff to coach guys in meetings, coach them on the field, put them through the drills you want to put them through in a practice and see how they respond to all that. So very beneficial for entire staff to go do that for a week.
Justin Herbert, he's got a lot of praise coming out of the Senior Bowl. What did you see from him as a quarterback?
Well, he's got great arm talent. There's no question. He was able to take in all the things that we asked him to do mentally with the playbook, communication-wise, really challenged those quarterbacks over the course of the week to improve with their cadence and the way that they showed ownership in the system. And I thought all the guys that we had did that, and he was no exception.
Okay. Have you had a chance to rest a little bit after the Senior Bowl?
We did. Yeah, it's good. Yeah, now it starts to settle down a little bit. Mm-hmm. You know, you just typically go through the typical 8-to-5 day and start to study these free agents and guys that are going to be at the combine and mm-hmm. start to put together your evaluations. But it's not as high stress as the last 6 months have been or year or however you want to look at it. So you get a little bit more family time and get a chance to slow down your lifestyle a little bit.
Mm-hmm. So this is obviously your first offseason as a head coach. How do you feel right now in like preparation for the NFL draft? Mm-hmm. And how do you feel things are going for you and your staff?
We're on pace to where we want to be. Mm-hmm. I think we've had the staff in place now. We only had to make a couple hires the last couple weeks.
Mm-hmm.
So we've been able to, since the Senior Bowl, really recap the things that we saw there. And we feel like we're really well positioned going into the combine, have a good feel for the guys that we're going to see work out, get a chance to go see them at their pro days. And then come April, we'll have a great grasp of how we want to approach the draft.
You have to feel more prepared now since you have a full off season to, you know, kind of look forward to going into the season, right?
We do. Absolutely. It's last year we were trying to get really our defensive staff in place. This time last year, we'd probably just hired Lou. We were hiring the defensive staff the week leading up to the combine. Our D-line coach, we met him at the combine, really. And so we're so far ahead. That's certainly reassuring to know that we're a lot further ahead than last year and feel like we got a great understanding of our roster and the things that we got to do to improve it.
Mm-hmm. And with the combine being next week, have you kind of narrowed down your draft possibilities at that number one pick?
No, you don't. Certainly, I thought you were going to say the entire draft. The number one pick, you know, there's a couple guys that you really got to research and mm-hmm. try to figure out which one is the best fit for you. People really want you to make that decision today, mm-hmm. but that's not something we have to do. We got plenty of time. Haven't even met most of these guys, and that's a big part of the process as well, in addition to the actual film studies you do. But yeah, we certainly feel like we're heading the right direction, and the combine is going to be a great chance for us to get face-to-face with a lot of guys that we haven't met otherwise.
You care to throw out a list of names you
no,
have?
No, I don't care.
No, not yet.
No, it's just we'll go through the process and make sure that we make the right selection.
Okay.
Look, I know you never want to finish last in the NFL. You go 2-14, you mm-hmm. get the number one draft pick, but there are some plus to that. You get the first pick when it comes to the 2020 draft. That process from when the season ends to the Senior Bowl to the combine to just kind of seeing some of those names, doing your research, what's that like? Is it just crazy? Are you like, we got to go offense, defensive side? What's that process like for a head coach?
Well, you certainly make a list of the needs that you need for your roster. And then from there, you start studying the prospects. You know, who fits where? Where's the value at? Certain players or certain positions in need. You balance that with free agency as well, who you can add there in free agency. And so, again, it's just part of the process that we really just started the last 2 weeks as coaches. Our scouts and personnel department do a great job of being on top of that all season. But as a coaching staff, that really begins the last 2 weeks. And so we're still in the infancy stages of all that. But, again, feel much further ahead than we were this time last year.
So I'm going to put you on the spot here. It's widely expected that the Bengals do draft Joe Burrow. I'm not breaking any news here. If you do indeed draft him as a quarterback, what type of player are you getting?
Well, he's put a lot of great things on tape. He's one of several guys that we've studied. You can certainly see why he's in that conversation. He led the team to a championship. You know, that goes a long way. Certainly guys that are winners and guys that have won championships, those are all the things that we're trying to achieve. He certainly has put himself in that position. It's well-deserved on his end.
And how do you protect that asset? Say you do go quarterback. Not saying you're doing that, but if you do, how do you protect that? I know the offensive line started to play better the second half of the season, but there are some additions that you look for when it comes to the offensive line?
We evaluate really every position is something that we're looking at, whether it be free agency or the 7 picks that we got in the draft right now. And so, again, you're trying to look at the value, where it's available and how it fits your team. But we got a couple more weeks before free agency hits. We got 2 more months before the draft hits. So those decisions have yet to be made.
I know you see social media, you hear it, and everyone's, you know, go get Joe Burrow, go get Joe Burrow. But you also hear that side of the national media when they say, you don't want to go to Cincinnati. I mean, quarterbacks go there to die. You don't want to go play for that franchise. What do you say about that when it's out there and you can hear it and you can see it? What do you say about that?
It's not something we can control. The only thing we can control is what we do within the walls of the stadium, and we got to win more football games, maybe to change the perception a little bit, but certainly feel like we're heading the right direction. Everybody in that building believes in what we're doing, and that we improved as the season went on. We didn't win enough games. That part's, you can make no excuses for it, but I know all the players, coaches, staff all feel like we're heading the right direction. It's something that we're all excited to be a part of. I know that the people that we add to the team will be excited to be a part of it too, once they kind of feel the energy from the staff and the players. And those are things that are very exciting for us to get another chance to get through the offseason, make some additions to our team, you know, start to really fine tune our schemes and be ready to go for the 2020 season.
When you hear that criticism and the negative talk that, you know, Joe Burrow shouldn't be a Bengal or shouldn't come to Cincinnati, how does that make you feel as a head coach?
It's not something you pay attention to. You can't always avoid things that are said, but you don't need to pay attention to it. It's, mm-hmm. they don't know what's going on in our building and the things that we're doing to improve it. So it's a lot of talk right now, and that's kind of what happens in the offseason. You have to endure it. And again, we're just going to continue to try to make the improvements we can make.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, even his mom has come out and debunked those rumors. His dad, it seems like everybody around him is debunking all those, you know, negative talks. So we'll certainly see if the Bengals, I'm speaking hypotheticals here again, if the Bengals do indeed draft Joe Burrow, where does that leave Andy Dalton?
Well, again, no decisions have been made, so we don't have to speculate on what will happen there. But what we do have is a really, really good quarterback in Andy Dalton, a guy that we believe in, has won a lot of games here and has done things the right way. And so we're truthful and honest with him through every step of this process as it comes to us. But again, he's a guy that we know can do great things as a leader on this team, as a quarterback in the NFL, as a starter. He certainly has a lot of years left to play. So we feel like we're well positioned at the quarterback spot.
Is trading him maybe an option?
Well, again, those are things that we're sorting out through, but we believe in him and we know that he can do great things for our franchise.
So do you ever look back, you and your coaching staff in the front office, saying you might have missed an opportunity at the trade deadline?
No.
No? Okay. So you don't feel the franchise lost maybe a little bit of leverage at the deadline?
No, I think at the midway point of the season, we still had a lot of things we were playing for, believed in the players that we had, and so those were the decisions we made at the time and felt strongly about them.
Okay. Well, I won't pester you about the quarterback position anymore. Moving to the outside, and you know the weekly AJ Green questions that I asked you each and every week during the press conference. Says, I know I've heard the Bengals are committed to franchise tagging him if he does not, if you guys don't reach a long-term deal. Do you feel you guys are close to getting a resolution on that long-term contract with AJ Green?
We're still working through that process. He's a guy that we're excited about to have part of this team, first and foremost, and that's what matters right now. Mm-hmm. And as we go through the offseason, we'll figure out how it best fits. But right now, We expect him to be a part of the team. We want him to be a part of the team. And he's certainly been a valuable member for the last couple of years and done some great things. And I'm excited to coach him really for the first time this next season.
How often do you communicate with him during this offseason?
You try to leave the players alone to an extent. I've talked to him since the season ended, certainly. And mm-hmm. I know he's been in communication with a lot of guys in the staff as well.
Do you feel like there's been any progress in these negotiations with him?
That's not things I really want to get into. Okay. But again, he's a guy that we want to be around.
Does it make you feel any type of way that he's come out publicly saying he will begrudgingly play under the franchise tag?
We don't worry about all that. You know, mm-hmm. we'll just take care of the business as it comes to us. And again, he's a guy that we like to be around, and we know he can be a great member of the team when he's on the field. And so excited to see him play next year.
I'm stay with offensive weapons right now. My whole entire life, I've always heard running backs dime a dozen. But Joe Mixon, he has a chance to be extended. I know you're not going to mention any of that, how those talks are going. But what makes him different? What makes him different as a running back?
I like the energy he brings to the building every single day. The attentiveness he's got in the meetings, and he enjoys practicing. He enjoys doing football all day, you know. And he brings energy not only in the meetings, but he brings it in the field when he plays. He's a physical presence, you know. And so he certainly – some backs you just feel their energy on the field. It ignites the team, and he's one of the guys that fits that category. And you certainly felt him the second half of the season as the offense improved. He was a big part of that. You know, he really got in a good rhythm there. And the chemistry between him and the offensive linemen was improving as the season went on. And you obviously saw he finished the season with his best game of the year, you know. And so we're excited what he can do for us in the future.
Do you feel there's a chance to maybe use Joe and Gio more in the offense next year together?
On the field at the same time?
Yeah.
We're always looking at the best ways to use our weapons. We feel like we got some good weapons on offense. A lot of guys that we can use in some different ways. And those guys do a great job complementing each other. And, you know, we'll continue to explore ways that we can involve everybody.
We don't know where Tyler Everett's going to land next year, if he'll come back or if he'll be on another team. But when you look at the tight end room, is this a chance for like a guy like CJ Uzomah to step up and be number one receiver for you guys and maybe see more out of Drew Sample?
I think those guys are certainly ascending players for us. CJ showed us a lot of things as we're around him for the first time all year. He brings great energy. He's a good asset in first and second down in the run and the pass game. And I think that he can do more for us on third down as well. And you look at Drew Sample was playing his best football each and every week, and then he gets hurt, gets put on IR. That was a shame, but certainly an ascending player for us. Guys like Seathan Carter, Mason Schreck, those are guys that we got on the roster. Jordan Franks, a lot of guys that we really feel like have a lot of potential going forward. And so again, we'll continue to evaluate things in free agency as it fits for us, but we know that we've got a great room as well.
On the defensive side of the football, you guys have some key free agents like Nick Vigil and Quez. Is it a priority to bring those guys back? Are you going to also look in free agency and see what else is out there?
Well, those are the things that we're discussing right now. You know, as we go to the combine and get ready for free agency, which starts really a month from now, I think, almost exactly. Those are the discussions that we're having is how do we want to approach each position on offense and defense, and what makes the most sense for us, and then make those decisions and figure it out as we get closer to the deadline.
So in terms of that, how far are you in the evaluation of, you know, free agents, how you want to attack this offseason? Mm-hmm.
We've evaluated all the free agents. Personnel mm-hmm. staff has done that really all season as the season came to a close. I know our staff has worked through that and really in the finishing stages of it. We wanted to get that done before we went to the combines. We could focus on these draft guys and have a good feel for who we want to target. So we feel like we're in a good spot in regards to free agents right now.
I know you don't want to tell me, but you can tell me if you want to. Do you have a board of maybe position groups that you really want to attack this offseason through the draft and free agency?
Yeah, but there's great value at every position, mm-hmm. and you got to just make sure it fits your team the right way. And you don't just want to target a position and say, we're going to get this guy, but it'd be the wrong guy, you know? And so those are just the things we got to fit all together here over this next month. And we're excited to go through that process.
You hired some veteran assistant coaches this offseason. Was that by design?
We interviewed a lot of people for those jobs, and we hired who we felt like were the best fits for us. Certainly could have hired a lot of guys for those positions. You know, now you get a chance to really only hire three or four. You get a chance to interview a lot of guys and mm-hmm. see how everybody fits. And We were really excited about the way that it shook out. Felt like we added, I think it was four guys that are going to be great assets to our staff, bring a lot of experience, playing experience, coaching experience at different levels, head coaching experience. So all those guys were really excited to get in the building.
What did it mean to bring a guy like Darren Simmons back? I know a lot of people respect him in the locker room.
Great coach. You know, he's been a great help to me. He gives me great insight. He's been here for so long. He knows the division so well. You know, one thing with him being here in one place for so long, he's got such a great feel for the roster and really how the rosters have evolved around us with different teams. And so feel like he brings such great value to the staff. You know, he added the assistant head coach title. But that's really what he was last year. That was really just putting a title on what he was already doing. And so excited to get him back in the building, and he's ready to go for next year.
I know one thing that I did. I talked to some of the players at the end of regular season last year, and a lot of the guys said, look, we go 2-14. I know it doesn't show on the record, but what Zach has done in the locker room as far as culture, it really has changed a lot of things in here, and they see it in there. And of course, they want to work on it in the offseason and going to the 2020 season. But what does that mean as a head coach to be like, yeah, you are making a difference, even though the record really doesn't show it right now?
That guys have bought in, and they want to do it the right way and the way that we want it done. And now it's got to translate to wins, got to translate to finishing games and making key plays and key moments. But you can't do any of that without establishing the right culture and the right way of going about your work and your business. And certainly feel like we feel the leadership is starting to emerge within this team, and with veteran players, young players who are coming into their own. And so that's why we're so excited for next year. But again, there's a lot of work to be put in this spring and this summer. We can't just say, oh, we're ready for next year, we're going to do great things. There's so much work that we got to do and things we got to improve on, and guys got to be focused and ready to roll. And I know that they will when they get back in the building in April.
Could there be a similar comparison to what the 49ers did? They had a down year and then they had their run this past season. Do you see that with this organization?
We got to put the work in that they put in. You know, I know some guys on that staff, and they did a great job adding to their team, and guys believed in the schemes they were implementing and the way they're going about building their culture. And it's easy to say, yeah, we're going to be there next year or 2 years from whenever it is, but we got to put in the work that they put in. And until we do that, you don't want to make any bold predictions.
So there's not a lot of optimism on the outside of Cincinnati, especially after the season that you just came off of. Why should fans be optimistic about the Bengals' future, especially when you have a team like the Baltimore Ravens who are clearly on the rise?
We feel like we've got a lot of ascending players, and now you're in year two of your schemes being in place. You got a great feel for how to utilize the players within the scheme. The players understand what's being asked of them. So we feel like we're in a good position to do some really good things next year. Again, it goes back to what I was just saying to Lindsay, is we got to put in the work. We got to make sure we're doing the right things to help ourselves improve. But we know that we're trending in the right direction. And so we can control the negative. It's fun right now to be negative. When things don't go a team's way, it's the easy thing to do. We understand that. All we can control is trying to improve. And, you know, but there's a lot of belief in the building that we're trending in the right direction right now.
Putting the record aside, how do you define success going into year two?
Well, every player's got to get better. Every coach has got to do a better job. We still got the work to put in, but we got to start finishing games. That was the biggest takeaway you had from last year. You can make a lot of excuses why we didn't make this player, the situation didn't go our way. But you know, when you're doing things with a lot of confidence, things just tend to go your way. And at times we weren't quite there yet. But that's certainly one of the improvements we got to make next year. It starts in the spring, starts in training camp, and it'll carry over to the season and carry over to more wins for us.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
Yeah, appreciate y'all. Thank you.
Thanks again to head coach Zach Taylor, who's taking some time during a busy offseason to join us in studio to talk a little Bengals draft, Joe Burrow, and free agency. Tyler, I know you've been busy too. You have the combine coming up. You and Phil are going to head to Indy. Going to go to St. Elmo's?
I don't know what we're going to do. I heard Indy has good steakhouses, so I might try one, two, maybe three of those steakhouses.
Man, Jason, boss man, I might need to make the trip for this. But no, you're going to be super busy with the combine. You got back from the Senior Bowl. A little bit of break before we get to draft day, which is 65 days away. A month away from free agency. We're going to have plenty guest podcast videos coming up at whatsuponcincinnati.com.
So I have a story talking about how the Bengals actually have leverage too with the number one overall pick. So check that out on cincinnati.com.
Thank you for joining us. We'll be back next week.